It's Thursday, the 19th of September, and this is the Monocle Minute today.
What we're seeing from the party so far, particularly from Justin Trudeau and the Liberal Party, is that they want it to be an upbeat message. They don't want to be taking sort of personal attacks or making personal attacks.
Canada's Justin Trudeau officially launches his federal campaign, but can he convince Canadians to back him once again? Plus, Donald Trump revokes California's authority to set auto emission rules. Lebanon's capital plays host to two fairs on art and design. And Italy's former prime minister undergoes a little rebrand. I'm Carlotta Ribello in Los Angeles. The Monocle Minute starts now. Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau has officially kick-started his campaign ahead of the country's federal elections next month. His first run was one of bold promises, and the country that elected him back in 2015 is not the same now in 2019. So, can the leader of the Liberal Party convince Canadians to back him once more? Monocle's Toronto bureau chief Thomas Lewis has been following this story, and he joins me now from our bureau in the Canadian city. Tom, we have yet to complete the first full week of campaigning. What's the mood of the campaign so far?
Well, it's been a pretty frenetic couple of days. What's been unusual about this election campaign for the general election, which will take place here in Canada on the 21st of October, is that thanks to a piece of legislation by the Trudeau government, it kind of meant that parties could start effectively campaigning in the weeks and months before the official campaign, which is very strictly limited in time, unlike, say, our counterparts in the US, that it meant they could start campaigning a little bit earlier effectively in all but name. So it feels as though this has been quite a long campaign so far already. We have seen each leader of each of the main parties here. They are crisscrossing the country in quite amazing style, actually. We've had them going to each corner of the country, and that will continue in the weeks to come. I'd say that each of the parties have had some setbacks already. Most of the major parties have had to deselect candidates, largely because of some slightly unwise things many of them have said online. I think many of the parties will be relieved that, you know, lots of the parties have experienced this, so it hasn't really given anyone an edge, I would say. What we're seeing from the party so far, particularly from Justin Trudeau and the Liberal Party, is that they want it to be an upbeat message. They don't want to be taking sort of personal attacks or making personal attacks. We'll have to see what the Conservative leader, Andrew Scheer, tries to make of that. The Conservatives have a long track record here in Canada of going rather negative. They don't seem to be doing that so explicitly this time around. So we'll see if the tone continues in that way in the weeks to come.
Now, we've heard about the tone, but who exactly are the main parties targeting?
Well, I think for the Liberal Party under Justin Trudeau, what really sort of won them a majority last time around was the overwhelming support of young voters. And that is who the Liberals have been chasing this week on the election campaign so far. The Conservatives are also trying to tap into that pool of the electorate. Justin Trudeau yesterday made a big announcement about funding and support for young parents who would get tax-free stipend at the source, is how he described it. So that would mean that you would get sort of government support if you were taking time off work to look after your newborn, and that would be totally tax-free. The Conservatives have also pledged something similar, but theirs looks more like a tax credit. So Justin Trudeau has tried to make out that theirs actually will be a more tangible policy once it comes into effect, given that they're effectively, you know, putting more cash in your pockets rather than just giving you credit for the future. I would say that lots of the parties are also going for, say, older parts of the electorate as well, those who are on the verge of retiring, who maybe have faced economic uncertainty, despite how well Canada's economy has, largely speaking, done under Justin Trudeau over the past 4 years. You know, we're looking at things like better retirement options, we're looking at sort of better quality of life issues. Those things have been very prominent so far, and I would expect sort of both ends of the age spectrum, if you like, so millennials, to coin a phrase, but also those at the older end of the electoral spectrum, I'd expect those to be getting most of the attention from all of the main parties ahead of Election Day.
So, how is Justin Trudeau running his campaign? Is he in trouble?
For Justin Trudeau, this will be a tricky election. I don't think things are maybe quite as dire as they looked a few months ago at the start of the year for him and his party. I think the main thing he's contending with at the moment is a fairly shapeless, if you like, sense of mistrust by lots of corners of the electorate. So many women, for example, have their approval ratings of him have slipped significantly in the past 6 months. That's due to the so-called SNC-Lavalin scandal back at the start of the year. We're also seeing young people being slightly tired of the Justin Trudeau government. There's a feeling that Trudeau has broken lots of promises that he made in last election campaign 4 years ago, most notably on reforming the electoral system here, but also on its green credentials. The government has bought a very controversial gas and oil pipeline project in Western Canada. That's been a boon to Alberta, say, for example, and even parts of British Columbia. But for those, and there are many of them, Canadians who want their government to be pursuing a greener energy agenda, they really feel pretty outraged by that move. So I think what's in his corner at the moment is that neither of the main political opposition figures have really captured the mood of the nation so far, at least. Polls are putting them all equally sort of level pegging, the Conservatives maybe a little bit ahead. There's still a long time to go in this campaign, so there really is still all to play for Justin Trudeau himself, but also for all of the other parties vying to oust him from office.
Monocle's Thomas Lewis in Toronto. Always great to hear from you. Donald Trump is rolling back yet another Obama-era policy this week by formally revoking California's authority to set auto emissions rules. Scott Lucas, a professor of international relations at the University of Birmingham, has more.
To put it bluntly, the Trump administration is trying to block any state from pursuing a standard on emissions, say from automobiles, that is stricter than what the federal government sets. And of course, because Donald Trump, who is a denier of climate change, because his Environmental Protection Agency head, Andrew Wheeler, former lobbyist for the coal industry, want to roll back restrictions on emissions, and have already done so in cases such as on coal plant emissions of methane, they are going to attack any state, effectively try to handcuff and block any state from pursuing environmental rules. I mean, there is no doubt, Xavier Becerra, the state attorney general, has already said that there will be legal action filed. I suspect it will probably go all the way to the Supreme Court, because beyond the specific issue of environmental regulation and climate change is the fundamental of, in the U.S. federal system, what is the balance of powers between the federal government and the states. But beyond that, I think you're going to see a public relations effort. And Donald Trump is going to go on Twitter, has already done so, to trash California, to say that it can't deal with its homeless people, to say that it is not an effective state government. On the other hand, I think the California government, NGOs, activists will all say, look, this is urgent. This is an urgent example of what needs to be done because of the problem of climate change. If you allow the Trump administration to do this, it isn't just putting the handcuffs in California. It's effectively saying that they're willing to let the planet burn for the sake of their narrow political agenda.
Lebanon's political situation has remained less than stable for some time, but that hasn't stopped the residents of Beirut celebrating their creativity with not one, but two fairs.
Economically, Lebanon is on the brink of financial crisis, and politically, it is dominated by sectarian strife and stagnation. But culturally, at least, the country is more alive than ever, with this week seeing its capital host two fairs on art and design, respectively. Beirut Design Fair opens today and focuses on contemporary and modern furniture by designers and galleries from the Middle East, including a locally built chair from Lama Saloum and fluid concrete pieces by Rula Salamoun. Now in its third year, it is being held in the same seafront exhibition space as Beirut Art Fair, which runs concurrently. As Lebanon's situation becomes ever more stifling, such events provide a little space to breathe and reboot.
And finally today, a view from our editorial floor, where we look to Italy, whose former prime minister is undergoing a bit of a rebrand.
Italy sure knows how to stage a political comeback. Mere weeks after the new centre-left populist coalition had finally managed to get off the ground, former PM Renzi has decided to leave the left-wing Democratic Party to found his own, Italia Viva. It's an interesting choice for a party name, Italia Viva, a moniker that had already been used during some PD campaigns, directly translates as Alive Italy, a clear reference to the fact Renzi reckons the other left-wing parties are a stale thing of the past. He, on the other hand, has declared he wants his new party to be joyful and fun. But there's another twist. Swap the order of the words around and Viva Italia changes meaning. It becomes Go Italy. The same translation applies to Berlusconi's historical party name, Forza Italia. It's a subliminal but strong signifier of the fact that Renzi hopes his new party will steal some of Berlusconi's centre-right electorate. Him and the 40 MPs that have decided to follow may like to think that they'll broaden the consensus for the liberal side of the spectrum. What's likely to happen is this new party will fragment a centre-left that's perennially marred by internal fights. And with the right-wing populists on their heels, that wouldn't be such a joyful and fun prospect after all.
That's all in today's programme. You can read and subscribe to our daily email bulletin at our website, that's monocle.com. I'm Carlotta Ribello in Los Angeles. The Monocle Minute returns on Friday.